Special board meeting of the Lakeland Housing Authority Board of Commissioners. Today is September the 15th, 2014. The time is now 6 p.m.
Sue the housing authority. I would have spoke at a public forum.
She's got a recorder on now.
How you doing, Rev?
Good. I'm busy, but I'm doing good.
Busy is good.
Yeah, that's real good.
When you stop being busy, you know what happens. And get that period at the end of your life. When are you running for office?
It's easier.
That's awesome. I'm gonna roll.
First floor.
I thought you were going to sit there, Valerie. I thought you were changing hats.
Oh, no. Hold on. I need to wear that hat so I can make that type of money. But since I don't have the credentials, I have to sit in the audience.
Okay. For me or for you?
Okay. There you we go. Were just talking about you and your credentials.
Thank
you,
Valerie.
That's a positive thing that you said.
Hey, we heard it here.
There's his credentials right there.
Oh, excuse me. I know it's brand new.
Carlos.
Yes, sir.
Did you get this from the guy that you can buy half a floor and they give you the rest of it free?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They threw the chairs in too?
But I don't know how much we pay because she didn't want to pay.
How you doing, sir?
I like the floor. It's nice and level. But everybody got a new chair but me.
And you know what?
I think you might need to look at this budget a little bit.
The chair's right there. Oh.
But it's got little wheels.
Terrible man.
Well, what happened?
Okay, are we good to go? Are we all ready? All right. It's 6:03 to start our special board meeting of commissioners. So I guess
let's repeat that, please. Thank you.
Let me repeat it. It's 6:03 and a half. Let's start the special board of commissioners meeting. If everyone would just join us for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Oh,
the flag's not there. What the? I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Just have a moment of silence. We do have a quorum. This is a special. Go ahead.
Before you get to the first item on the agenda, sir, I was wondering if you all care if I introduce the new controller, Joe. This is Joe Murphy. This today is his Thursday.
Oh.
And he made it through the first day. And so we'll see you again tomorrow. And again, just wanted to introduce him. I just wanted to share anything, Joe.
Well, it's a little preliminary now, but I understand y'all have some pressing agenda items, so let's try going. But I can't just give you a little bit of background. I came over from Tampa Housing, so that if you saw Mr. Gilmore come in and give me a nice warm handshake, and that's the reason why, because we go back a few years there. And then I'm going to be in the finance department heading up that function here and hopefully be able to make a difference for you guys and, you know, certainly meet your directions as the event. So, very good.
Great.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going on a limb and say, I think y'all will be happy. is it recorder on?
Okay, now we're up to item number one, budget.
Hello.
So, basically tonight I included the budget for the departments and entities that the board will be approving on the board meeting on the 29th. This is to take home. There's no presentation tonight. We will also be emailing them to all of you because it's difficult to read those
papers.
Yes. So everything's going to be emailed. And then on the 29th, there will be a presentation of the budget. So any questions, please email me with the question or email Ben, and then Ben will send the questions to me and Joseph.
Yeah. Okay.
And Bobby.
And this budget will be part of the recovery plan. And based upon the contact I've had with her, it'll probably be the October meeting where we'll present the recovery plan to the full board, because her won't be coming to the end of the month. We want them to get their comments on the recovery plan before presenting it to the full board.
Okay, thank you. We're up to item number two, agency plan.
I'm sorry, I'm a little slow. But in our package, you've given us three budgets, right? It's the COC budget, the housing choice, and the Westlake management. Is that correct?
The fourth is the one that I
handed. The one you handed out.
For development, and it's illustrate. There have been some discussions about development activities and whether or not we were going to pursue development in the future. Well, even when you take all of the salaries out of the development budget, you still have to use a little bit of cash on hand. If you look on the front page, it's to the tune of $13,264. And that is because you have these entities that set up with the various deals that have expenses related to them, whether you get the tax credit application award or not. The other thing that you have to keep in mind that makes the biggest difference is we have that property at Williamstown, and it has a mortgage, and that mortgage has to be paid for with non-federal funds. So just wanted to make sure that you're aware that even though we made some restructuring the organization and we made some adjustments in positions and salaries, even when you pull everything out and only look at the LLLP expenses, you're still going to have to use some of your reserves.
The budget that are included in the package are public housing, Section 8, COCC, and Westlake National, more, plus the development fund.
Did you have any more questions?
No, I just wanted to understand the four budgets that they gave us.
Go ahead, Valerie, agency plan.
Okay. On the agency plan, and it's in the back of your package.
Sorry.
Yeah. For those who sit on the recovery plan committee, this will be a repeat for you, but wanted to make sure that the other commissioners have the opportunity to know what are key changes to the plan in case any of our clientele ask you about the changes. And so we've had changes to the admissions and continued occupancy policy. If you go to page 43, which is section 42B, organization of the wait list, the items that we changed were the preferences. and they're bulleted, victim of domestic violence, voter's registration, residency, enrollment in school, graduate of a Lakeland-based approved transitional housing program, residing in government-acquired property, and being relocated at the request of LHA will no longer be a preference when we look at our wait list. Many of that is due to the fact that we are restructuring. We don't have the staffing to go through all the preferences. So we're going to have to focus on the main items of looking at whether or not they have criminal history, those type of things, the key items. The other ones are nice to look at when you have the capacity, but these are ones that will no longer be considered.
So that means if once a person moved to one of the apartments, if this should come about, any other activities that we're eliminating now, once they move in, if that should come about, is that a reason for putting them out of the apartment?
Oh, you talked about...
Well, this is related to admissions here. The scoring criteria when a person gets application,
right,
they get certain points for, like, say, if they have a job, if they have, like, say, no criminal history, those type of things, they get a certain amount of points. They move them up higher on the waiting list. But that's not related to just the admission.
Because
literally,
okay,
it's like 10 criteria where they can get points, but we reduce that to 3. Mm-hmm.
But
all the other admission requirements and particular requirements, those remain the same. Well, I think they remain the same, pretty much. Maybe it may have been tweaked, but it was going to stay the same, right? But to an occupancy, I don't think we did any change to that, right?
No. The only thing we changed, like I said, was the preferences on the wait list, because that's the only thing I wanted to highlight. Everything else, if they look in the binder, that finance binder, yeah, of the agency plan. Mm-hmm.
And that second page after that, that shows the what we're going to do.
Okay, so if they come now and they're victims of domestic violence, they won't get preference anymore?
No.
You know, domestic violence seems to be in the headlines all of a sudden.
I know.
And it's
How many points was
domestic? It's a serious offense. What were the points?
The points, I'm going to actually have to go grab the binder to have the detail of the points, because I can't remember them offhand, but it's right outside.
You don't know,
Carlos?
Just one
point. Oh, it's just one?
Yeah. One point.
That's one point. Most of these on this list are just one.
Okay. All right, that's what I want to make sure I was.
Okay.
Well, if you go to the next slide, which is slide 7, where we talk about flat rents, then there were revisions that we also had to make to the admissions and continued occupancy policy because of changes that actually occurred with the CFR. The first part doesn't apply to us because we're not a move to work PHA, so we don't have to worry about that section of the notice. And then the other part is it requires PHAs to establish flat rents based on market rents for comparable units in the private sector. The flat rents may be lower to 80% of fair market rents in years where the FMR decreases from the previous year, but is no longer required. And I think many of the older commissioners remember when we were having the issue in Section 8, and they were saying that you're going to get less subsidy. We actually went out to Coleman Bush and did a big presentation on the changes because we weren't going to be able to pay 110% of FMR.
You meant the Veteran Commission.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. If a PHA decides to increase their flat rents to comply with statutory changes, then it will be considered a significant amendment to their PHA plan. So the whole 45-day wait period that we go through when we're doing the agency planning process, if for any reason we have to do changes, we can't write in our agency plan that it won't be a significant amendment. The regulation is telling us HUD considers it a significant amendment, and we would have to go through the 45-day notice. Okay.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
PHAs must consider who is responsible for direct utility payments. What does that mean?
Well, the other part of the act is they want to make sure the housing authorities are being fair, even though HUD is trying to encourage us to save money. They want to make sure that none of our residents are adversely impacted. So when you're looking at the flat rents, if you actually pay your own utilities versus someone else that has assistance, the flat rent could actually penalize you and they could end up paying more. So what they're telling the PHA, when you're doing these calculations and you're looking at the individual, you got to check to see how the utilities are being addressed to make sure they're not paying more just because of regulation change. And then the other thing that this slide talks about is the fact that PHAs must comply by June 1st, 2014. And so we're all required to start applying the new flat rents by October 31st, 2014. So then we get to the changes to the Housing Choice Voucher Administrative Plan. And if you look at the big binder, the agency plan binder, the 5-inch one, if you look at it, we've reduced the number of preferences from 10 to 5. And the preferences now for Section 8 are working family, person relocated from a public housing site who wants to return to the site and the site has no or limited public housing, absence of a prescribed crime, absence of a misdemeanor, and graduates of a Lakeland-based approved transitional housing program for homeless persons. But applicants would no longer receive preference for residing in government-acquired property within LHA's jurisdiction, successfully completing LHA-sponsored youth bill programs, not currently living in a standard affordable and/or subsidized housing, a qualified purchaser of LHA-sponsored homeownership unit and relocated at the request of LHA. And again, that comes back to the fact that we're restructuring. We have a reduction in staff. It's not possible for the staff that's going to be left behind to go through all of those preferences. So we focus on the main ones that have the highest points. Also, the Manor at Washington Ridge, which is a near elderly senior facility, will now have its own site-based waiting list. What they're doing now is they actually are on the list for the property, so they're mixed in with the family. So that's an advantage to the seniors to actually have their own list. And, for some reason it got out of order.
Hey, what's that? What slide were you on?
This is slide 3.
Oh, okay.
It's funny because this is related to the ACOP. It kind of got out of order for me. Sorry.
Okay. No problem. I was like, I flipped it and I was like.
When you ask a question about the points,
I threw you off. Yeah.
So that's something we'd already covered. And some of our other items that have changed with the Housing Choice Voucher, which is going to be slide 10. Sorry, the 5 got...
I don't have a 3.
Yeah, I don't have it. But I think it's actually 6, the ones you're talking about that have...
Was 5. 5 and 6,
talk about preferences.
Right, for the
ACOP. Gotcha, I got 5 and 6, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I don't have 3 yet, none of us have 3. Oh, okay. They started 4.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah, we're on number 10 now.
Yes.
We
can't afford a number 1 through 3.
Well, no. We figured you didn't want
to. It's a cost savings.
Okay.
Save the tree.
There you go.
Page 76 of the Housing Choice Voucher Administrative Plan.
Slide 10.
Also deals, when this is going to be section 12, of the HCV plan. It deals with inspection policies, housing quality standards, and damage claims. And the 3 key items to note there is that units will be inspected every 2 years instead of annually. It doesn't mean that if we don't feel that we need to check up on the landlord that we won't inspect more often. But again, because HUD is trying to cut expenses, they give us the ability to push the inspections out every 2 years versus having to do it annually. And then, of course, LHA will follow the PH Notice 2013-17, which allows us to use photographs to improve housing quality standards oversight. Again, it used to be that there was something that you were trying to check to make sure that it had been repaired. The landlord could actually now, instead of having an inspector go back out, can produce photographs in the actual invoice showing that they paid a contractor to do the repairs. And then we're also moving to implement digitalization of all of our Housing Choice Voucher files. This is key because, again, we don't really have the storage here at our facilities. If you're trying to cut expenses, you don't want to pay a third-party firm like Iron Mountain to store your files. Some files, like general ledgers, don't have a date that you can destroy. You have to keep them. So by us going digital, there's nothing in the regulations that prevent us from having digital files versus paper, but you need to talk about it and include it in your plan. So that's one of the items we're doing.
Now, the two-year inspection, is that optional, or is that, or are they giving you an option?
They're giving us an option. We can wait 2 years to inspect. Okay. But if any of our inspectors think that with a particular landlord that we need to go out more frequently, we can do that.
Or if we get complaints from a resident, the voucher holder, the landlord's not keeping up the property, we're going to go check.
Right.
That's what I was sort of leaning to. If we had major issues with one or complaints, that we could institute it sooner than that.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. And then the last changes that you'll see from the agency plan relates to community and supportive services. You all are aware that we no longer have funding to support the 21st century requirements associated with the Department of Children and Family Services, so that program would no longer be available to all language in reference to 21st century, and the benefits that we have there have been removed from the plan. We did not reapply for a Ross grant this calendar year because we're focusing on the recovery plan. However, you'll see that during the next cycle, there will be an application for a Ross grant. OST and MST program participants have been absorbed into LHA's workforce. So we are not right now currently doing an OST and MST program, but the ones that we have been employed. And then we're going to continue to work with Polk Elderly Services, We Care Services, VISTA, the Prodigy Program, and Emma Turner House, Boys and Girls Club, Kia's House, Polk Works, and Youthville to actually be able to continue to provide services to our families, even though some of the other programs are going away. And then, of course, on August 7th, we got a new Youthville grant for $974,000. So even though our focus has changed, we're still going to be able to provide self-sufficiency services to our residents. And then LHA will still serve families via the FSS for Public Housing in Section 8.
OST and MST, I'm a little slow. What are those?
Office skill training and maintenance skill training.
Okay.
Yeah, programs that we used to bring.
All right, I wasn't quite sure what.
On the VISTA that you show here, that's the federal program, or are you talking about VISTI, which is the local elderly program?
Local.
Okay, that should be VISTI.
Oh,
VISTI.
Yeah. Yeah.
VISTA is a national program.
Yeah. Federal program. I will make that correction.
And this grant of $974,000 has to be spent within 12 months?
No. It's a 3-year award.
That's for 3 years?
Yes.
So just wanted to be able to give you a reference guide in case any of the residents come up to you and ask you questions. Since we're still in the 45-day period, they may, since they know your commissioners, ask you questions or express concerns about the changes and wanted you to have them at a glance instead of having to go through 2,000 sheets or look it up.
We thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a clap note, if you
clap note.
Any questions? Okay. We're up to resolutions.
Okay. As the board knows, like last month, we offered to execute a contract, a purchase agreement for the sale of the Alba Mata property. But as you all know, there's a DOT on the property, and we have to get her approval to dispose of the property. And so just basically asking approval to submit the application to the site office for the disposal of the application. And that we have this submitted resolution with the application, including authorized resolution with the application.
Okay. So we have
a hard time following through on some of these things and looking at the rents up at the top of the flat rent page, the 100% and 80%, and reading down at the bottom what was supposed to be 80 and so forth. They didn't match up.
Can we get that resolution?
Oh, that's the second. Oh, you're at the first one.
Okay.
Oh, excuse me.
I jumped the gun.
Sorry
for a moment.
He's one step ahead of us, right?
I'm telling you. Oh, we're on resolution 14-1385.
Yeah.
Okay, do we have a motion to accept resolution 14-1385?
So moved. Resolution 14-1385
would
be approved.
Second. Discussion? Questions? Okay. Roll call.
Commissioner Pittman-Tell.
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson.
Aye.
Commissioner Hall.
Aye.
Commissioner DeCessari.
Aye.
Commissioner Robinson.
Aye.
Commissioner Saunders. Aye. Commissioner Smith.
Aye.
Okay. Resolution 14-1385 passes. We're up to resolution 14-1386.
Now we get to the question. Now we get to the already went through the regulation. These new regulations only affect AMP 1 and 4, Renaissance and Dakota, even though they're going to find the numbers and the rents in the rent that I put together, the calculations. Renaissance and Dakota that are exempt because they're mixed finance. So for AMP 1 and 4, some of the rents went down, some went up. For one bedroom and two, it's almost the same as last year. For 3 and 4, it really went up a lot. For AMP 4, all the rents went down. After applying the utility allowances for the unit size. This is something that is mandated by HUD, so we have no choice other than implementing the regulation.
Question, Carlos. On AMP 1, okay, it says that those are at 80%, but then when I look at the top at the 80% for a two-bedroom, it says 646, and we're saying 531.
Or on the two bedroom, probably. And see, AMP 1,
Westlake. Mm-hmm. Yes, because it's 646 minus the utility allowance.
Okay, the utility allowance. Have to add the utility allowance to it. Okay, I got you now. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
But the utility allowance is not always there.
AMP 1
is public housing. You don't necessarily get it automatic, I think, for like this section. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Flat rent, you have to set them up in advance. And you have to, based on the new regulation, you take the 80% of the fair market rent minus the utility allowance for that particular unit size, and then you get the calculation for the flat rent. And also you have to take into consideration the market.
Then you build back in the cost of the utilities.
No, you deduct that from the 80% of the fair market rent.
That's what he's showing you there. Because like you see the utility lines, because the rent should be, say,
So we had two public hearings, no comment, and basically there was no comment because it's an imposed regulation. There's no, you know.
So it's not like we have a choice.
Right. No choice. Exactly.
Coming down from above, yeah. How it says do it.
You have to go.
There you go. So, I'm going to assume the motion. I'll make a motion that we have a second.
Who
did the second?
Okay, that's the motion. Motion should be to approve, not to accept.
To approve, yes. Motion to approve. First one was Commissioner Robinson. Second was Reverend Richardson. Roll call.
Commissioner Chandler Town?
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson?
Aye.
Commissioner Hall?
Aye.
Commissioner DeSestri?
Aye.
Commissioner Robinson?
Aye.
Commissioner Saunders?
Aye.
Commissioner Smith?
Aye.
Okay. Resolution 14-1386 approved. Up to the next.
Yeah. As you know, this is a special board meeting, and there's really called to update on the agency plan. We've been adding a couple of other items to that. And so,
Okay. And item four on the agenda is adjournment.
Now, one thing that for future meetings, a special board meeting is still a board meeting, meaning we have to have a slot for public comment. I know you already had public comment on the agency plan and that kind of thing, but it's still a public meeting. So just next time, now, Mr. Chair, before you adjourn, you can ask whether someone has any public comments.
Then item 3A on the agenda, anyone has a public comment? Interesting. Guess not, then. Meeting is adjourned.
We got some homework.
I got my calculator out. That's what I was looking at.
Richardson, are you okay for next Wednesday?
Next Wednesday?
You got the email in the bed?
Meeting adjourned at 6:35.
See?
30 minutes.
I got it.